Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Truth About Nobody podcast with me, your host, Preeti Singh. In season two, I've been talking about dating with a focus on dating apps and the people I've connected with or met through a host of them. You even heard from one in the last episode. In this one, I'd like you to meet Shivraj. He's an old friend, was a year senior to me in school, a fellow journalist in another life, albeit the more glam TV kind. He's also an openly gay man, coming out at a time when most people were afraid to, and has been enjoying dating via apps way before I had even heard of any. Now, if I was a cat in a previous life, he's seriously catty in this one, and a lot of fun to boot, especially when I'm feeling low and need a good laugh to lift me out of a funk. We are fellow podcasters now, collaborators, and often co-conspirators when it comes to dating hacks. He loves dogs and is a baker par excellence who has promised to bake me a cake for my birthday in December. Here we talk about random things, our online search for the one, if such a beast does exist, about the evils and joys of dating on the treacherous web, about ghosting, red flags, weird expectations that people have from dating apps, ageism, and other delightful treasures of online versus offline dating. Thank you for doing this, Shivraj. It feels good to have you as a guest here for a change after my own guest appearances for Words on Wednesdays on your Brevis Living and Learning podcast. So hey, welcome to mine. Before we begin, a small caveat here. So for this episode, I decided not to go with any music during the interview, except for the beginning and the end, just because it feels much more natural chatting with Shivraj without any background music, and also because we talked so much that it was a nightmare editing for me. So here we go with just our voices. And no background music for a change. I hope you enjoy the change in pace. Compared to me, Shivraj, you're like the big daddy of dating apps, huh? You've been around these apps and you've been dating online for a long time now. So tell me, why dating apps?
So Preeti, as an out and proud gay man, I've been told that apparently in social settings, I'm very intimidating. So I don't get people who walk up to me and just connect. I find dating apps for me then becoming a great subterfuge for meeting that entire cross-section of people. And you'd be surprised, the same people I meet on dating apps will be scared and shy and diffident or totally look through me in social settings. So I find the dating apps gives me that cover. That's why I've sort of signed up to a whole host of them. And it's not just, of course, Tinder, but in our world, we've got Grindr, we've got Scruff, and the origins was really this fantastic open source site called Planet Romeo. And prior to that, we had these chat applets, which were anonymous. So that's really been my dating app experience in the last, I would say, 15 years.
So tell me, what makes you swipe left or right on a particular profile on a dating app?
Swipe left? There are not just one thing, because the most glaring thing is when someone says that they are bisexual and they're looking to mix it up, I know immediately that they're married. And that for me is a no-no, so I swipe left. I'm a man, Preeti, I'm so sorry, but if I see a sexy man and he looks nice and is just really sexy in his pictures, I will swipe right. I know it sounds very superficial, but that's the case. But I know sometimes pictures can also be deceiving, but you know, you just want to try your luck.
What about profiles and profile pictures, Shivraj?
You want to really meet someone who's attractive. But I also find I sometimes swipe right if the profile content is interesting. Then that opens up possibilities of you having a conversation. If you don't have a picture, I'm not going to take the discussion forward.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you on the pictures or the lack of pictures on a profile. And yeah, a well-written profile goes a long way in making me want to definitely swipe right on someone. I even see sometimes people who have chepoed, so to say, I mean, who have actually copy-pasted someone's profile because the same kind of weird words keep turning up again and again. And yeah, but honestly, a good picture or a halfway decent picture with a well-written bio, yeah, quite irresistible. Makes you want to swipe right away. What about your own profile, Shivraj? I hear that you have had to hear some really weird stuff about that.
But you know what's really funny with me is when I worked in a TV station, I'd actually have guys say, but aren't you the famous anchor? Should you be on this dating site? And I'm just like, excuse me, but I think I'm human and I'm entitled to. And then they'd get judgy about it and say, but you're so famous and how come you're here? And I'm just like, what? And I think people just can't handle spontaneous out there people very often on dating apps. And I guess that becomes also your filter mechanism.
Yeah, since you mentioned this filter mechanism, right? What are some of your red flags when it comes to certain profiles or even with people who you've swiped on and maybe started a conversation with? What are some of your red flags?
If someone doesn't have social media profiles and they don't have information about themselves that match what they're saying on the dating apps, that's a red herring. The other thing that I find very interesting, and I didn't know this till much recently, maybe I'm just generationally challenged or technologically challenged, but have you heard of something called reverse imaging?
Reverse imaging? No. What exactly is that?
Google has this service where you do reverse imaging and they search images for you from the entire internet universe and they throw up associations. So they throw up that same image if it's in any other social media profile or any other place. And then you get to verify if it's in fact really that person. And that really helped me sometimes because then you know immediately that someone's either using a commercial profile or they're posing as someone else or they're generally people who are cagey. And that's become one of the things that I've started doing a lot.
You know, it's all fun and games till it's not. And I can imagine that it can also be scary to put yourself out there. I know I've had a couple of really weird experiences and I'm sure you must have too. Tell me about that part.
Online world is very interesting, intriguing, but it also can be very daunting. I think when we're on the online dating universe, we sometimes are also vulnerable. Over the years, I have started being a little judgmental. And I think that's a good thing because it keeps your guard up.
I think it's good to keep your guard up, but sometimes you have to let it down for things to really happen. I think I talked about this in the last episode, that how I have been so unable to show vulnerability that I'm learning definitely. But does it happen with you? Like you don't know when to hold them and when to play your cards? I mean, what do you think about this?
Now, see, Preeti, that is where I need tuition. I need to be tutored and mentored because over the years, I've had girlfriends who sit me down and say, you're giving too much of yourself out there. And that then decreases the mystery and the want and the desire to engage with you further. And I'm not very good at that. And I think I'm learning to hold myself back in some instances, but I still haven't got there yet. Told that I'm always very eager to venture information that I need to hold back. But do you really know when to hold back or when to be yourself? Because you can never tell what the other person's thinking on the online dating apps. And I think on online dating, you've got to gauge where you need to pull back and where you need to give a little.
Tell me about your weirdest encounters. And I'm sure you've had many by now.
Preeti, I could write a whole tome on my weirdest encounter. I think the fact that I'm an openly gay man sometimes puts a lot of men out there on dating apps on the back foot because a lot of men, and this is very interesting, there's a term called men who have sex with men. So these are men who pop up in dating apps because it's easy, it's accessible, it's out there, and then they vanish. And most cases, it's about the quick fix and then vanishing. But the strangest experiences were in my early years when I was a sensitive, young, unexplored online dating fiend. And I remember meeting this very attractive man who showered me with praises. And then we decided we'd meet offline. And we met for a drink, and it was a fabulous evening. But after that, not only did I not hear from the person, but their contacts and every detail about them just vanished. And it was ghosting to an extent that I've never seen before. And that, for me, was the first time I actually felt that maybe I'd done something wrong. It was really strange. On the flip side, in the LGBT community, and there's been a lot in the press recently, there are a lot of men who come on dating sites to extort.
Before we continue, a few words for the app that's made it possible for me to rack up over 1,400 plays for this humble and home-produced podcast. As I said, yeah, you've been doing this for a while, right, Shivraj? And I mean, I hadn't even heard of these dating apps till about two and a half years ago, and I only joined about a year ago. But, you know, you've been doing this for a while. How has dating changed over the past few years, especially with the entrance of these apps that have made it so convenient? How has dating changed for you?
When I wasn't out, it was all very on the down low. No one knew. And when I was out, I think it became par for the course that most gay men don't have spaces. So dating apps are par for the course. But I have to tell you this, the transition's been very interesting. Because back then in the 90s, you did not have apps. You had chat applets. And so the language and the lingo is really fun, because on those, you didn't have the opportunity to put up pictures, but you had handles. So you had your handle, and the first thing you'd get asked was ESL. So ESL is age, sex, and location, which is quite a misnomer considering you know you're on a man-to-man chat. Now it's become preference, position, and place. And I'm just like, can we graduate to that through other conversations? But very often, that's where it begins.
Hookups versus more? Thoughts?
Unfortunately, in the gay world, dating always begins with a hookup before it goes to the other thing. So I'm also as I get older and I'm now in my mid-40s, I sometimes want to turn it on its head. And so I want a conversation. I want to go out. I want to meet the person and get to know them. And more often than not, even after you swipe right, within the first two or three conversations, you know whether it's for you or not. And also, there are a lot of these good-looking men who decide that they've been empowered because you've said hello to them. And after maybe two or three lines, they go silent. Has that happened with you? Where they suddenly just go silent for a very long time. And have you ever had that situation where you're having a conversation with someone, and of course, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all of what you're doing, and they get really anxious. They want an answer to that question. So there are these little question marks that keep popping up, and this sudden urgency that they must hear from you. And then they go silent.
Oh, yes, my friend. I've come across all sorts. You know, in the beginning when I had first joined these apps, I used to take it a little personally. You would actually start wondering if you said something wrong. You'd go back up and look at your chat. You know, then you'd look at all your pictures in close detail, or have you written something wrong? That makes you kind of doubt yourself. And then you realize after a while that there are all sorts of people on these apps and that you can't take anything personally. It has to be all taken with a pinch of salt. It is sometimes not the real world till it does get very real. And yeah, so you meet all sorts. I meet the ghosters very often. You almost feel silly, in fact, messaging some of the ghosters because you don't want to end on that note. And you also meet the over-anxious kinds who feel if you don't reply within the first few minutes or maybe the first hour or so, that maybe they get a little, you know, complex about it all or whatever, and suddenly they're gone. So yes, I understand that. And I call this, I was joking with one of the guys I met on Bumble, and we talked about this a lot, and we were laughing, and we would send these Christmas trees of question marks just to make fun of people who actually do it seriously. So yeah, it exists in the heterosexual world as well, my friend. people say that women hate the question about their age the most. But I have to disagree, and I have to say that the one question that I hate now is, what are you looking for? I mean, what? It's a dating app. What do you think I'm looking for?
Exactly. What are you looking for, Preeti, on a dating app? It's also very interesting because I always ask myself the question, what am I looking for? Just for, you know, as a filter to find a way of answering that question and why I'm on these apps even now. And I worked on a project a few years ago where we called it matchmaking, and then they decided to change because matchmaking clearly did not work. Is that when you're slightly older, you do want a companion or you want someone you can turn to, but I don't think you want marriage and you don't want tying down commitments, do you? I think hindsight is very powerful, isn't it? You know, as you get into this whole dating game, you realize what you don't want over what you want.
Is there a dip test that you have or a yardstick you apply to gauge people, as in potential dates and maybe more?
So, you know, my father had this very interesting thing that he used to tell us. Be with someone who you can open your eyes and wake up in the morning and actually see and look at. That's a gauge. Because if you wake up to something horrific in the mornings, you don't want to be seeing that person again. I know you're not much of an animal lover, but I'm crazy about animals. And sometimes the best gauge of whether I want to take it further with someone who's come over are my dogs. So what are you looking for, Preeti?
I don't know, Shivraj. What am I looking for? But I will tell you this, that I find some terms of what people are looking for on these apps a little weird, actually quite hilarious. For example, LTR. And by LTR, I don't mean long-term relationship, but loving, tender relationship. What does that even mean? And in any case, what are your views of the other LTR, the long-term relationship?
But how can you look for a long-term relationship on a dating app? You need to understand that this is a platform where you get to meet different people. And it's only after a few meetings that you even get to the first stage of seeing whether you want to meet that person ever again. And it's like, so what are you looking for? And I'm like,
You know what I truly feel like saying at times like that? I feel like saying, I'm looking to build a diversified portfolio. How about that?
That's a very interesting way of saying, and next time I'm going to use that, let me note that down, diversified portfolio. And I'm going to use that the next time.
Oh, and what are some of the major turnoffs?
There are often these profiles where you see all this poetry and sometimes they even quote Nietzsche and people like that. And you're like, And then they ask you these questions with poor grammar and you're like, oh no. Oh no, I'm not meeting this person. I am not meeting this person, no matter how attractive they are. And then there are those people who are very, very interesting online and then you meet them offline. So I think the online world offers people that anonymity, which allows them to be very chameleon-like. So you have to be really witty and sharp and understand and cut through all that to figure out who they really are. And I think that is exciting about online dating. What's really interesting, Preeti, I don't know if you've ever faced this, but in offline dating, when people know people who know you and then you find connections, it normally creates a connection. But on online dating, I've often found that if you start trying to connect too many people with the person you're chatting with, they get freaked out and they disappear. So what do you do when someone asks you to tell them something interesting about you? I find that very discomforting.
Something interesting about me? That's an easy one now for me, Shivraj. I simply tell people that I almost died last year while on holiday abroad, and that I'm fine now, and that I'm back to dating. Also, that I now have a podcast that talks about both.
But that brings me to the next question. And this is a question that's always kind of played on the top of my mind. You know, we all start out when we're very young with a certain type. We've had this regular diet of Mills and Boons and romance, and there's a type that we have, and everyone has a type. Have you found that as you get older on dating apps, your type not just dilutes, but it gets a little bit more discerning?
Yeah, I think it's not about having a type, but it's about what you find attractive in someone. And that differs for everyone. I don't know if I always had a particular type or something. For me, I think a few basics apply, which have been, you know, important from the very beginning, I guess. Silly maybe, but I like tall guys. I guess being 5'8", you know, there is something about tall men that I find very attractive. The rest is, of course, yeah, a great voice and someone who's got a fantastic sense of humor, has the ability actually to laugh at himself and not just the rest of the world. That has been, I think that's been the holy trinity for me for the longest time. And intelligence, of course, I mean, that's something that you do need if you're going to have a great conversation with someone and take things forward. But I agree with you that, you know, we evolve over the years. We realize what is not important anymore. And we realize what we don't want, like you mentioned earlier in the episode. What about you? Do you think that your type has evolved?
I did have a type, and my type was very ridiculous. It was buff, dark, hero sweep me off my feet kind of person. And now it's changing. I'm sort of diversifying and opening up. And for me, I don't even mind Caucasian. So, you know, I was very reverse racist for many years. And now I'm like just an interesting person, someone who's half attractive, but also interesting and engaging would do it for me.
Now, I'm 45 and used to, you know, initially just set my age filters in the 40s up and down. And then I started realizing that most of the people were married or cagey or stuffy or something or the other. And then I remember I kept reducing to the 30s. And now it's almost exclusively that I swipe on or get swiped on by men in their 30s. But people my age would sometimes say, oh, are you a cougar? And I'm like, if I was a guy, you'd call me a lucky dog. I think it's people my age who are more ageist, so to speak. Tell me about this. Have you experienced ageism?
Ageism. And this is something you alluded to earlier, but I find this so funny. So someone's engaged with you and I'm like wondering why, because my profile says it all. And they're like, oh, you maintained yourself so well. And I'm like, excuse me? And then you get labeled daddy, sugar daddy, oh, you're older. And I'm just like, that's so off-putting. And then I just don't want to engage with the person. And this ageism is a very, very prevalent thing on online dating apps, isn't it? But you know, for me, even 30 is strange because I have nephews and nieces that age. But I've actually have dated people who are below 30. And I just tell them that 25 is my absolute lowest. And I'm very clear now that there has to be a cutoff at the lower end. At the upper end, however, not in India, but definitely in the West, I find the older the men are, the more attractive they've become.
Have you ever heard things like people like you? Like people like you don't understand how difficult it is to talk to someone, or people like you who are more comfortable doing this, or things like that, right? I mean, I don't understand this people like us, because I am actually not the same, you know, in real life. I can be very shy. And that's in my personal life, not in my professional life. I mean, I could go walk into any room and manage when it comes to professional networking. But when it comes to dating and maybe say picking up people or whatever, I can't do it. I'm too shy. So do you also get to hear a lot of people like you and people like us?
In social settings, a lot of people claim they get intimidated by people like us because we're articulate and we're out there. And then on dating apps, they hit on you. And I'm just like, that's such a dissonance. Because either you're that person when you meet and also on the dating app, otherwise it just doesn't work for me. And of course, there are those guys you know who are either in a committed relationship or married and you don't want to take it further, but they're so daring online. Because people like you and I are very open and sort of spontaneous, but it's so strange. I've actually seen people on dating sites who are, in my situation, ostensibly straight, married, or people I know who are in committed relationships, and they pop up and I don't know how to handle it. And there have been instances where they've gotten a little too close to comfort on those sites. And when I meet them socially, they behave differently. And I'm just like, wow. And it can be, you know, like I said, it can also be a lot of grist for good gossip when you're with a bunch of friends. But it's a very fine line. I mean, do you out people like that?
All in all, Shivraj, I think I'll repeat what I say very often. And I've said this before on this podcast. It's just a great way to meet interesting and different people. People in so many different professions, people doing interesting and fun things. And meeting people completely outside of your social or professional circle, people you wouldn't bump into otherwise. That's what, the bottom line is that, I think. And that's the part that I've enjoyed the most. What about you?
No, and I think what's very interesting about dating apps is the variety which we began with and the diversified portfolio that you have options of choosing from, but also meeting interesting people and just connecting with them, not necessarily because you're going to either hook up or date, but you just get to know interesting people. And sometimes those relationships can lead to very interesting encounters and situations. I've actually had work leads come through some of them. I've had invitations to very interesting events come from them. And so I think it gives you a very, very, very varied experience.
Thanks, Shivraj, for the initial conversation, which was long and with a lot of laughter. I hope I've done justice, or at least some justice, to that long conversation. And as always, the faults are all mine. This episode has been in the editing bin for a couple of months now, I think. So my apologies for it being so late. In the end, I just want to say that the best part of a first date for me is always the war story that fellow online daters share, of meeting strange people, of encounters which are so bizarre they almost sound made up, of strange and often kinky fantasies that they have or they've heard others share with them, of hitting the bullseye and of missed opportunities, of spray painting templatized versions of ourselves on dating walls and casting a wide enough net. We do this just to meet that one person we want, the one who gets you, the one you want to connect with, on the phone or in person. Could be for a few hours, a day, a night, a month, a lifetime. To wrap up, I'd say to each their own, and may God bless us all in this journey that we've embarked on. I hope you enjoyed listening to this conversation. I wish you a fabulous week ahead. I'll see you on the other side in the next episode.